Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Yesterday we spoke about thou shalt not murder. And today we're going to talk about thou shalt not commit adultery and how the immorality in the body of Christ among Christians has become epidemic, immorality. I'll describe a call we received today from Pennsylvania about a conservative Christian family, a Bible-teaching family, who allows their grown daughter to shack up in their home, their Christian daughter, with her Christian boyfriend. But what a wonderful couple they are. This is what's happening in the body of Christ, and I'll give other examples that our listeners have called in to us. But first, my new challenge to evolutionists. My new challenge remains on the table. They didn't do well with the last challenge of how does a caterpillar evolve to turn itself into goo and reassemble itself into a butterfly? How does it survive as it's trying to evolve the ability to goo itself and reassemble itself? But now we have a new challenge. How does a species survive while evolving wings from reptile to bird? Right? That's what the evolutionists, that's what they tell us has happened. How long before a bad leg becomes a good wing? So you're a reptile, and for some reason you get this urge to evolve into a flying species. So your legs, the bones have to hollow out and all the muscles have to change. Big changes. Your scales have to become wings. So how long before a bad leg becomes a good wing, and how does a species survive during that transition? Since evolution supposedly is survival of the fittest, you'd think a leg and a gradual transition to become a wing is going to go through, what, 20 million years of being a really bad leg. So how does a species survive while evolving wings, and how long before a bad leg becomes a good wing? And when you think through simple questions like this, you realize that, wow, for somebody with a high IQ like Mike Rosen down the street at KOA, for him to look at evolution and say, I believe that. Of course I believe that. Of course I believe that reptiles evolve the ability for flight. And to not even think through, well, how could that conceivably happen in the broadest terms? How could it possibly happen? Okay, so that's a standing challenge to any evolutionist out there for the next month or so. You could call in to Bob Benyart Live, 1-800-8-N-YARTS. That's 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. Now, yesterday we talked about thou shalt not murder. And today, in the body of Christ, we have all become legal positivists. I'm using all as a figure of speech, not Denver Bible Church, not here at Bob Benyart Live. There's a handful of ministries that are resisting this, but for the most part, our national Christian leaders have become legal positivists, and they justify violating thou shalt not murder as long as you're loyal to some side deal. You know, we can make a side deal. God reveals from heaven thou shalt not murder, and you're supposed to abide by that unless there's a side deal. You know, the side deal might be who knows what. It might be, well, we're the Crips or we're the Bloods, and so we decide when we could defend murdering the innocent, killing the innocent. Or we're Al-Qaeda, so we could decide when you could defend killing the innocent. Or you might call the side deal the Constitution and say, you know, we're conservative Christians in America, we're Republicans, and so we're going to defend the killing of the innocent, like Samuel Alito, the judge voting to keep legal partial birth abortion in New Jersey. We could defend that because he's upholding the side deal that we call the Constitution. And since we've all agreed to the Constitution, that takes precedence over thou shalt not murder. So what are you, a purist or something? Come on, get on the ball here. As soon as we convince the last Christian to compromise on thou shalt not murder, that's the only thing standing between us and the restoration of America, is that we need every Christian to be willing to compromise on thou shalt not murder. So that's basically the political strategy of the body of Christ in America, and it is self-destructing. so that today we can do an autopsy on the pro-life Christian strategy, because it's dead. 25 years, it's been a complete failure. We've got, 55% of the federal judiciary nominated by pro-life Republican presidents, and nominated by Republican presidents, most of them by Reagan, Bush, and Bush. And it's solidly pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, pro-evolution, pro-just fill in the anti-Christian worldview, and it's pro-that. Okay, so that was Thou Shalt Not Murder. Now we'll talk about Thou Shalt Not Commit Adultery. For 3,500 years in Judeo-Christian society, adultery was not only a sin, it was also a crime. Not all sins are crimes, but every crime is a sin. We have to be able to think clearly about these issues. The government doesn't come and arrest people for being covetous or greedy. Those things are sin. But if you act out on it and you steal, then you violated one of the laws, the criminal code that God has revealed. Four of the Ten Commandments give the foundation of a criminal justice system. Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not commit perjury. That is, in the Hebrew, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Hebrew, English translation. So that's the foundation of a criminal justice system. And little by little, we Christians are saying that if you have a side deal, then those laws, we could compromise on thou shalt not murder. We could compromise on that. And we're doing it. And so now we have Gary Bauer defending Judge Samuel Alito for voting to keep legal partial birth abortion in New Jersey. And while Bauer at the same time was fighting to get courts to outlaw partial birth abortion, then when he realized Samuel Alito voted to uphold it, to keep it legal, he sent out in an email that Alito did exactly what a good judge should do. That's our kind of judge. That's what we want him to do. We want him to abide by the process and not violate the side deal. He could violate thou shalt not murder because that's not as significant as the side deal. And we, the Christian leaders of America, we've switched our loyalties first to the side deal. And therefore, I will defend Alito for violating thou shalt not murder because he's loyal to the Constitution. And that's where we're at. And so the same thing with thou shalt not commit adultery. And now we find that sexual immorality is become rampant in the body of Christ. This family in Pennsylvania, the mother, the matriarch of the family, she's the strongest Christian in the extended family. This is a call from someone in the family to Bob and Yurt Live off the air today. The mother teaches a weekly Bible study, the K. Arthur Precepts. You know that Bible study? It's all over this country. 60 women attend her weekly class, and she has her grown daughter live at her home, her and her husband. They've allowed their daughter to move in with her boyfriend, who's also a Christian, and they attend a Christian church. And she's a K. Arthur Precepts teacher. And I'm finding that stories like this are coming in from all over the country. Let's go to the phones in Centennial. Jack, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, sir.
How's it going?
Great.
Hey, I got an answer for you. You know what happened?
What?
Through the immortal ooze and slime of the evolutionary chain.
Yeah.
What happened was they all evolved at the same time. So as the hobbling fish turned into a bird, see, they were all on an equal plane. They were all hobbling. So
okay.
That's the reason why that's the reason why they didn't actually, you know, the survival of the fittest still could be intact.
Okay, now, Jack, I want 20 years ago I heard advice given out over the air.
Uh-huh.
It was when you call into a talk show,
yeah,
have a point.
You know I'm kidding, right, Bob?
I know you're kidding, but you know what? You did as well as anybody could do.
Yeah,
that's about as well. Here's what I've heard. I was taught. I remember this in my textbook at school, that mm-hmm. Here's how flight evolved, that squirrels would climb trees, and they would jump off the trees to catch insects, flying insects. And that evolved gradually. Their legs evolved into wings. When my kids jump out of trees, at most they might break a leg, but their kids are not going to evolve feathers or hollowed out bones because my kids jumped out of trees. And I want to know, what were the insects jumping out of the trees to catch? Why did they evolve wings in the first place? It's all ludicrous.
That's a tough question.
Yeah, Jack. So we're praying for Mike Rosen over at KOA that he would think through the bad leg, how long it would take before a bad leg evolved into a good wing.
Well, I mean, how asinine things could be. You know, you got like for instance, the morning guy over there at KOA. I mean, he's a good guy. I like his show.
Steve Kelly?
Peter Boyles.
Oh, he's at KHOW.
Yeah, KHOW. But he, you know, he had this woman that just wrote a book. She was obviously, I guess she was in a cult, and then she became like a staunch Catholic, and now she's wrote a book about Jesus's childhood. Imagine that.
Well, Peter Boyles is pro-life unless it matters. He's strongly pro-life unless it actually matters. And also, he's utterly committed to anything homosexual.
Yeah, and evolution, too.
And so if anything opposes homosexuality, then Peter will oppose it. So if God created us, male and female, and warned us that man with man is destructive and destroys even your body, then Peter will take his stand against God because he knows better.
All right.
Thank you, Jack.
Thanks, buddy.
God bless you. I appreciate that call. The phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So then I get a call. This is a couple of weeks ago from Michigan, Detroit, Michigan. And it's a young Christian couple. And the wife is devastated because she comes from a large conservative Christian family, and they're all homeschooled. And she's the oldest of about 8 kids. And she's just married with the baby. And the family is becoming increasingly liberal, even though they go to a conservative Christian church and they're homeschool conservative Christians. And they recently decided to let their daughter, like in the last 6 months or so, they allow their daughter's boyfriend to spend the night. But the father put his foot down and said they can't sleep in the daughter's bedroom. They have to sleep on an air mattress in the living room. And then their two sons, who are high school age, the homeschool family decided that the sons really wanted to go to the public school, high school. So they decided to let them go to public school. And just a few weeks ago, this is what prompted the phone call to Bob and Yart Live, to our office. They woke up on a Saturday morning, and lo and behold, the two boys going to school were caught, each of them with the girl, in their beds. The girls had snuck in the night before Friday night and spent the night. So they got their daughter knowingly sleeping in the bedroom on the air mattress with her boyfriend, and their boys, and the father sees the girls there, and the woman who called into the Bob and Yart Live office said the dad didn't want to come across as an ogre, and so he sort of complimented the girls and he said, "Oh, you're both very, very pretty, very cute girls." Hey, why not, right? Christian homeschool family, you got to be proud of your boys for sowing their oats. That this is what is happening in the body of Christ. We are in a moral meltdown. We are in a moral meltdown. And our leaders, as I say this, you think of our Christian leaders. Think of them by organization. Think of them by name. And think of which of our Christian leaders teach that adultery, according to God, adultery should be a crime. Adultery is a crime. It's not only a sin. It's a crime. And the humanist in Hollywood worked to decriminalize adultery in our lifetimes. They decriminalized adultery. So adultery, you don't get punished for it anymore by the government. You don't get punished for adultery. And the problem with that is that the law is the great tutor to lead men to Christ. The law makes it really clear that we are sinners and we need forgiveness from God. But when you take the worst sins of mankind and you begin to decriminalize them and legitimize them so that they're declared legally valid, when our Christian leaders now side with the humanist in Hollywood and the homosexuals in Hillary, and their de facto public policy is that there is a free speech right to produce pornography, that the government should use its power to fight against child porn and obscenity, but not against Playboy. Because after all, there's a First Amendment right to free speech, and we're just going to keep our mouth shut on pornography. We're going to just try to regulate pornography. So the Christian leadership in America is basically, if my analysis is correct, our Christian leadership is ashamed of the principle that God revealed as a foundation for criminal justice system, thou shalt not commit adultery, whereas adultery should only be, whereas sexual immorality should, I'll get this right, whereas sexual relations are only legal within marriage. So we are now ashamed to say that. And instead, we are fighting these brush fires on every front and every direction, because once the humanist broke down that wall of protection, that sex is only legal within marriage, and now our Christian leaders are ashamed to even remind people that that is the legal ideal. And now you get from them that, well, the government should fight child porn and obscenity, but really that's it, because everything else is legal. And the government should fight against child molestation, but homosexuality really is your right, as Chuck Colson wrote, that homosexuals have the right to engage in sexual behavior in the privacy of their own homes. That is their right, he wrote in Breakpoint, 1993. And leader after leader has declared that homosexuals have a right to be homosexual. And that's now the new public policy position, that it might be a sin, but it's also a right. And so I ask Christian leaders, I say, well, then why did you fight to uphold the law in Texas, the sodomy law, which made it a crime to be a homosexual, to engage in homosexual behavior? Just a few years ago, you were fighting to keep it illegal in Texas to engage in homosexual behavior. And now that we lost that one, that the U.S. Supreme Court, the Republican Supreme Court, struck down that law, so it's legal to be a homosexual, engage in homosexual acts all over the country now. Now the Christians have followed the humanist in Hollywood and the homosexuals in Hillary, and now the Christian leaders agree that you have a right to be a homosexual. We just want to witness to them. That's nice. We should. But we've lost our way. We've lost our vision. And since the law no longer condemns fornication, pornography, adultery, homosexuality, bestiality, these things are no longer illegal, then people are not as easily convinced that they need forgiveness from God for their sin, because they brag about their sin, and their sin has been legitimized by our national Christian ministries, who their de facto public policy is that all these things should be legal. And so that has worked its way down into the ranks of the Christian community, and sexual immorality is rampant. You know what they say about the tide when the tide goes out? A receding tide sinks all ships. Have you heard that? Reaganomics? A receding tide sinks all ships. And so as our Christian leaders promote a de facto public policy statement that sex is legal outside of marriage and that we need to regulate pornography, not outlaw it. Now, we don't have the power to outlaw it. We don't have the power to stop abortion. But that doesn't mean we want to give up. That doesn't mean we should be ashamed to tell people, you know, abortion is murder. It violates thou shalt not murder, and we need to recriminalize it. And the same thing with adultery and fornication and homosexuality. And millions of people have met tortured deaths around the world, partly because Christian leaders have learned to tolerate, to promote the tolerance and the legitimizing of homosexuality. That's what we've done. Never mind what the other side has done. Look what we've done, because we could control the things we say and the things we do. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-8-N-YARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. Pro-lifer in Denver, Joe Scott. Welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's up, Joe?
Oh, you just hit one of my pet peeves. It is Christians. The morality in the Christian community is so bad. Last week, Bob, we were picketing in the neighborhood of an abortion clinic security guard.
Yeah.
And a pastor from Colorado Springs and his wife drove up to rebuke us.
Right.
And
why would he, first of all, why would he judge you? Doesn't he believe in don't judge?
He didn't believe in judging.
Yeah, so why is he judging you?
Well, because it was obvious that what we were doing was so wrong and had to be spoken to.
Oh, but if you kill children, that should really go quietly. But the Christians who stand up against it, they're the ones we should rebuke.
Absolutely. And then later on that day, we were stopped by the police because of the graphic nature of the signs on the truth truck.
Yeah.
And a supervisor came to talk to us after holding us for 2.5 hours, and he told us what a great Christian he is. And but he knew for a fact that what we were doing was wrong.
Yeah.
So
he was a Christian police officer.
Christian sergeant in the State Highway Patrol.
Okay, and he doesn't, I guess he hasn't heard of free speech.
No, never. Well, it took him two and a half hours to go through the statutes and figure it out. But, you know, he said that he knew for a fact that what we were doing was wrong. But I said, you, on the other hand, protect the abortionist and won't let anything happen to him while he's killing a child. And that, you think, is better?
Right. Well, you see, that agrees with the side deal we made.
Right.
We made a side deal. You know, we could call it Al-Qaeda or the Crips and the Bloods, or we could call it the Constitution. But if the side deal says it's okay to defend the killing of the innocent, then it's okay.
Yeah, and just a couple of days ago, I talked to a wonderful, quote, unquote, Christian girl who was going to have an abortion, and she told me that I needed to leave her alone because she was just going to give her baby back to God.
That's beautiful, huh?
Yeah, sad.
And Joe, let's not name the church, but let's just describe the nightmare of the girl who came to Planned Parenthood 20th and Vine for an abortion, and who you and Ken recognized from a local Denver church, and you had talked out of the abortion, but she was brought back, and she had the abortion, and she told you through tears that it was the pastor of her church who impregnated her.
Yes.
Yeah. And that, how much time?
It was not the pastor. It was the deacon, and I even spoke to him. He was a well-respected deacon in his church, and he brought her back because he couldn't face the congregation.
And that church, people who go to that church, they figure it's a good Christian church.
Wonderful church, yeah. They would never know,
you know.
And if they give me, whenever I get the name of a church or something, I call the pastor right away and beg him to come down. You know how many times that's happened?
Never.
Never.
Never. You call the pastor of a church and say, one of the girls in your church is here to have an abortion. Would you please come here and talk to her, pray with her? And they are upset that you even told them.
Right.
They don't want to know. That's called apathy. And apathy is the violation of what command? Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Apathy is the opposite of love.
Yeah, it's actually passive-aggressive, I guess, hate.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right, very good, Joe.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
I appreciate your call. God bless you. That's Joe Scott, Mrs. Ken Scott, and wonderful dear friends, members of Denver Bible Church. And by the way, Denver Bible Church is moving December 18th. Our first meeting will be in Arvada. Now, anybody who lives in the south part of Denver, you've had a few years to visit us. We're down near Hampton and Wadsworth, and you could go online at denverbiblechurch.org and see the map, get directions. But we're only meeting there through the 11th, December 11th. And after that, in Arvada at 72nd and Oak, we'll be meeting at Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. And that's so exciting. We're thrilled about that. So the stories we have, I mean, it really is to answer the phone at Bob and Yurt Live during the day and hear the grief and the tragedy. Another call came in, a Christian family, and the husband was defending to his wife his use of pornography. You know, a conservative Christian family. And thankfully, the husband was responsive to talking through why this is so destructive. But the reason this is happening, and if that Christian family had called somewhere else, you know, maybe the pastor would have said, we don't want to judge. We don't want to judge and tell the wife she should forgive. And, you know, there's a competition out there. You just better do a good job to keep your husband loyal. I mean, we are in moral meltdown in the body of Christ, moral meltdown. And it's coming because our Christian leaders have decided to compromise on thou shalt not murder. And a receding tide sinks all ships. And that's what's happening in the body of Christ, where abortion, divorce, homosexuality, fornication is just as prevalent in the church as it is among unbelievers. And so what do we have to do about it? Well, the prediction we made here at Bob and Yurt Live is that our Christian leaders would defend Samuel Alito for voting to uphold partial birth abortion. You remember that prediction on the show when he was announced? That was the prediction. And Gary Bauer, James Dobson's longtime friend, political activist, ran for president, founder of Family Research Council, came out with an email repeatedly saying that Alito did exactly what a judge should do, unquote, because that's the kind of judge that we want. It's amazing. Now, why would Gary Bauer, Christian pro-life leader, defend a judge for voting to keep legal partial birth abortion? Why would he do that? Because for years now, he's been compromising on thou shalt not murder. And when you compromise on thou shalt not murder, let me ask you this. Where's the logical place to stop compromising? Where is it? Where do you stop? So first you begin to regulate adultery, regulate fornication, regulate pornography, regulate stealing, regulate murder. And then where do you stop? And pretty soon it's hard to tell the difference between the Christians and the humanists. That's where we're at. Check out our website, kgov.com. Order our video, Focus on the Strategy, our DVD. You will love it. We have it available for a great discount. 25 copies for $100, 3 copies for $20. So call us and check out Maranatha Christian Center.